Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We head to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Alex Doherty, who covers the Nashville Predators for the Tennessean. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So we've had large discussion on Andrew Burnett and the future of the Nashville Predators this morning. So, Alex, I'll start there. How do you view the decision coming up here for the Preds? We know this season is lost and the playoffs are going to be way far in the rearview mirror by the time this thing is all said and done. And then the question is going to begin of how do you fix this moving forward? So where do you come down on that, and where do you come down on the future for Andrew Burnett and what that could look like after this season?
I don't know what you're talking about. Their playoff chances are about 0.2%. I think they got a chance. I think they need to go win about 20 games in a row, and they're right in there. They got them right where they want them is what's going to happen.
They're not 0.0.
They're not. So you're telling me there's a chance.
They are not eliminated. So here's how I think about this. We've been thinking a lot about this over the last there was that time in December or whatever it was when – there was really some thought that it was going to happen soon, and then Barry Trotz comes out and says, nope, he's my guy, he's my coach, we're good. And then at that point, it's like, well, I mean, there's no point in firing him now because, you know, you just kind of play out the season. But I do think that there's a conversation to be had, as you guys have been having it. And, you know, for me, I always think about this like kind of like the scales of justice, you know, like the two sides of the scale. And if a coach or a general manager, whoever it is, has more facts in their favor, then they're safe. But, and you know, obviously the scales sort of get adjusted, you know, for a first year coach or maybe even a second year coach. But I just think that the scales are really starting to tip against Brunette here. And I would have to point to a lot of things. I would think, I mean, just the general kind of sense of this season, you know, that literally every single player is having a bad season. I mean, you can't point to a single player and think, oh, look, you know, that player, he's having a career year. You know, you could do that with John Hines. You know, remember the season before John Hines was fired, you know, Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg, you know, they had great seasons, and that was a big, you know, thing in favor of John Hines. Well, look, this was a bad season, but, you know, he did do some good things. I don't think you can say that about anything this season. I mean, every single player has been poor. And then, you know, you had this off season of adding these offensive players that just not only didn't help, it seems to have hurt. I mean, they lost offense by adding some really good offensive players. You had questionable handling of Philip Tomasino and Donze Fabro, who are now off being successful in their new teams. You had the weird situation with Marchessault earlier. Although, you know, I might give Brunette some credit there because I think right after that, Marchessault went on a nice little tear. So maybe that's in his favor. But, and honestly, maybe perhaps the most damning thing is the poor goaltending. I mean, I think there's a pretty common adage that, you know, bad goaltending can get coaches fired. And I think – whereas I think the situation with Saros is maybe a little bit more insulated than just like, you know, it's a coaching situation. That kind of thing, you know, the badness, how poor Saros has been this year is just, it's too much to just say, oh, well, he had a bad year. Like there has to be something else going on, right? That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I just think that the scales are tipping against him now.
I will quickly point out that last year, Gus Nyquist did have his career year under Andrew Burnett. So it's almost it's funny that you brought up the Duchene thing because it's actually kind of the same thing, right? A year before this happened, all these good things happened the year before. So, you know, does that count for him now? I everything you say makes sense there, Alex. Do you feel like these players, if these, and again, it's not going to be like this, like Trotz going to be like, okay, Roman, should I fire him or not? Of course, it's not going to be like that. But do you think that these players, if they were, given truth serum, would speak on his behalf, against him, or neutral?
I think if you ask them honestly, I think most would probably say that this is not working. I don't know that it's like a personal thing. I think it's like a strategy, tactical side. Like, I think that there's probably some, and you got a little bit of this earlier in the season. Remember when Steven Stamkos, you know, kind of walked the line and was like, I could say some things about this right now. You know, there was a pretty strong vibe that he was talking about the coaching side of it, or at least that he was talking about kind of the general tactics that were going on with how they were trying to fix the offense. I think if you, you know, they're professional, they're not going to say this, but I think that they would probably say, look, this offense is too complicated. This offense has too many moving parts that are not helping. And we need something different. We need a better setup. And players get the brunt of the blame for not scoring or for not doing specific things on the ice. But when you have this many all at once, kind of just like really struggling, the only solution seems to be coaching. And then there's like, you know, well, okay, who would be the alternate, you know, who would you bring in instead? I mean, that's another conversation, but I don't know that there's an obvious solution there either. I mean, like, this is almost like a situation where you just, the players would need to come up with something on their own to see if it worked first, and then find the coach that worked for that. You know, and that's not going to happen. I mean, like, Barry Trotz is not going to say, okay, the players, you come up with how you should make it work, and then we'll find a coach that can just be the rubber stamp at the top. Like, it's just kind of a mess. And then there's the, you know, Barry Trotz is not blameless here. I mean, like, he came in and made a lot of changes and then spent a ton of money and now has to think, okay, I mean, and then like pretty soon was like, well, that didn't work. Let's go to plan B. I mean, like 2 months into the season. and so you know, that doesn't exactly work either. I mean, like you can't just have this weird sort of like, well, I've got kind of four plans rolling all at once. And when one doesn't work, then I can just shift to another. So it's just all kind of a mess. I do think that one thing that won't happen that I've heard people talk about is Barry Trotz coming down from the rafters and saying, you know what, I'm going to be the coach now. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's done there.
Well, okay, so to the point of the roster, like, you know, the coach is going to be the first thing everybody talks about, and we've talked about that a lot today here on the show. But I guess, you know, fundamentally beyond that, beyond the coach, how much of this is also like the roster, the age of the veteran core that they've got here at forward, and perhaps like those guys just not being a fit together? Like, one thing we talked about heading into the season was, yeah, they signed a bunch of these guys, the scoring should be a lot better. They still don't have any centers. Like, the idea that Tommy Novak is going to be a second line center heading into the year has always just been mystifying to me. So how much of this comes down to roster construction, regardless of who the coach is?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right there. I mean, they missed on – I think it's pretty clear that they wanted to get – or they, Barry Trotz, wanted to get a center. I think he was – I don't remember who he was talking to. It may have been on this station or somewhere else, but he was talking about how he had in mind to go get a certain kind of player and couldn't get him, and then had to go get someone else. But I think it's pretty clear he was going after someone like a Chandler Stephenson, a center, like a true center in the offseason, and then just couldn't get him. I mean, what if that had happened? You know, what if they had gotten a true center to solidify the middle of the lineup? That is a big problem. I mean, like, they have had problems up the middle of the ice all season long, and then had to stick Steven Stamkos in the middle in order to just salvage something. So roster construction is a big problem. Yeah, I mean, and that's why I think Barry Trotz is not blameless here. I do think that, you know, based on my conversations with the team that I wrote about a little earlier this year, I think that they are just as happy with Barry Trotz now as they were when they first hired him to be the general manager. I don't think anything's changed there, especially because, like, he's been able to protect some things that they wanted to protect. The team has been terrible. He spent a lot of money that seems to be maybe a little bit reckless, but They like the fact that he's been able to hold all those draft picks. They like the fact that the team still has some top prospects that are up and coming. So I think if, you know, in terms of the organization holds Barry Trotz in high esteem, even with the sort of questionable roster construction for this season.
Alex, you mentioned, I want to go back to what you mentioned about tactics. You know, if I'm Andrew Burnett hearing that, I'm like, oh, you don't like these tactics? Go watch those Blackhawks teams that won the Cups with these tactics. Yeah. Tell me that these tactics don't work. But on that same point, if that's truly an issue and that's truly something that just it doesn't fit with these guys, it needs to be changed, then we have to get rid of the Joel Quenneville talk, right? I mean, I don't think it should be a thing anyway. But is that not the case? I mean, if tactics is truly a big part of this thing?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to get the guy who taught him how to do this. Now, I will say Burnett, he's not a clone of, in terms of the, obviously I'm talking about the hockey side of this, not the off-ice stuff, but he's not a clone of Joel Quenneville. He definitely blends a lot of different things. When I talked to him about it, he credited, and now I'm blanking, New Jersey Devils coach for many years. Oh my gosh.
Well, he's with Lindy Ruff.
The one that won all the cups. Oh my gosh. What can I think of this? Anyways, he's blended several different coaches over the years. And I don't think that his offense, I think his offense is tweaked, you know, to his, I think he's doing his own thing. But yeah, I would not say, I mean, Joel Quenneville would be, I think, of too much of a distraction, too much of a big problem. And I think Barry Trotz would need someone that, could come in and immediately fix. Now, I you know, Robbie was saying earlier about the Carl Taylor thing. I mean, I like Carl Taylor a lot, but I think it's pretty clear at this point, his future in the NHL is going to be someone on some other team. It's not going to be with this team. He's been passed up too many times here. I would think that, you know, think about this. You know, the other thing is who could be available? Now we're getting way ahead of it, but you know, if Andrew Burnett is fired, who could be available? There's a couple names that could be available. I mean, like, I don't know about the future of Rick Tocchet in Vancouver right now. Same thing with Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. I mean, like, that wouldn't be, I mean, those are quality coaches that have shown that they can win and would bring a different element to the team. You know, Gerard Gallant's another one. There are some other kind of maybe third tier, like Dave Haxtell, who, I mean, I don't think is that good of a coach, but I think it would be different. There's some other options out there, but yeah, the Quenneville option is just would not be a good one.
Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and I will see you later. We'll talk to you later down the road.
That's right. You know, I just wanted to say, Joe, I'm planning my trip to the NHL Combine in June.
Yes.
I know you love combines and exercising and push-ups and vertical leaps. There's going to be some excellent content up at the Buffalo, the NHL Combine in Buffalo. I have an extra seat and an extra hotel room if you would like to come with me.
At least send me all the video. I'll try to make it, but I want all the video clips of all the drills at least. Thank you, sir.
Okay, all right. I'll send you hours of footage.
Alex Doherty, our guest here on the program. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We will switch gears as well coming up next, get into some NFL free agency, NFL combine, as Alex just mentioned, getting underway this week. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 106.3 The Game.